relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. Trump. I tell you what, it was hard to keep up with that man. I'm, what, 23 years younger than he is in the White House, I tell you. He was like the Duracell bunny. I feel a lot better now, though, much healthier than I was back then, because I've shed 34 pounds thanks to the amazing offices of Dr. Ashley Lucas and the people at PhD Weight Loss. First system in 20 years that's worked for me. And I'm not saying I've got as much energy as my old boss, but I feel great. Find out for yourself. Make your first appointment. No calorie counting, no stupid starvation, just a system that resets your body chemistry to burn fat. Call 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com. That's 864-644-1900. Myphdweightloss.com. Do you remember what happened when they challenged President Trump that he's too old and he's not up to it? Well, he took the test. Let's play the cut.
I said to the doctor, it was Dr. Ronnie Jackson, I said, is there some kind of a test? An acuity test? And he said, there actually is, and he named it, whatever it might be. And it was 30 or 35 questions. The first questions are very easy. The last questions are much more difficult, like a memory question. It's like you'll go person, woman, man.
The president walked us through it in that interview with Mark Siegel. He discussed it from the podium. And then afterwards, he was given a score. What was that score? Let's ask the man himself, presidential White House physician, Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, now Congressman Jackson from Texas's 13th District. Remind our millions of listeners, Congressman Admiral, how did our old boss do on that test?
Sebastian, he did great. I can barely hear you, though. There's another feed in my ear right now, but I think you're asking me how the president did on the test.
Yes.
He did extremely well. I mean, he passed with flying colors, and I'm pretty convinced that our current president would have no opportunity whatsoever to get anywhere close to that. So we've got a big issue right now. But President Trump set the standard. He established the precedent. And I think that that's something that everyone should do now. And Joe Biden should submit to the test as well.
All right. So I hope that we've cleared up the feed problem and you can hear clearly what I'm saying. So here's... I'm a PhD in political science, so don't ask me to write a prescription. You are a surgeon. You're a doctor. You've served in the White House for multiple presidents. So I'm just going to ask the layman's question. This is an elderly individual. He's had two brain aneurysms. And if you look at his recent behavior, especially when he snaps at people in public, every week there's this example, whether it's a reporter, whether it's that worker at that Ford factory, he just snaps at them, which if you talk to people who've had family members with dementia or senility, it's one of the first things that goes. It's this kind of lack of filter reaction that the patients have. Why are you concerned? Let me ask your professional opinion. I know, you know, he's got the nuclear football and he's the president, but from a medical perspective, this isn't just a political attack. There is substance to this observation, is there not?
There absolutely is. He's got something going on. I tell people all the time, I'm not his physician. I haven't examined him. But you don't even need to be a doctor to see what's happening right now. There's something happening. I'm not giving him a diagnosis. I'm not saying he has dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or, you know, multi-infarct dementia. I'm saying he's got some serious cognitive decline related to his age. You can see it. Like you said, he's got a very short temper now. He shuffles when he walks. He slurs his speech. He's lost. He's confused. This is not something that you can sustain or that's something you can tolerate in a job like the leader of the free world. I mean, there's a lot of jobs out there that you can do and you not be completely 100% have 100% capacity and still do the job okay. President of the United States, head of state, commander in chief is not one of them. We got a serious issue. This is a national security issue for our country right now. You can see what he's doing to his overseas. He's not inspiring confidence in our allies. He's not sending the proper message to our adversaries. He's emboldening our adversaries, and they're all thinking that this is a window of opportunity. And you can see domestically, he's killing the country with the economy and the gas price and our border and crime in our city. So, yeah, there's a lot to this. There's a lot of concerns, and there's a lot of consequences.
Please give us your experience years and years in the White House, serving multiple presidents as their physician. Let's stay on this issue for a second. I'm not complaining, but I was, in the West Wing at 7 a.m. Sometimes we were there till 8, 9 at night. It was a long job for just me, a deputy assistant. But for a president of any party, how stressful a job is this from a medical point of view?
It's incredibly stressful, both physically and mentally. And you have to be able to multitask like nobody's business. I mean, you know this. He'll drop down the elevator in the morning or be walking, back from the Oval in the evenings and the entire day that he's over in the Oval in the West Wing. He's got multiple people coming at him with different issues, domestic issues, foreign affairs issues. And you have to be able to manage all that stuff. You have to be able to take that in and make decisions. And it's very, very stressful, and it's very, very fatiguing. And you're right. He had more energy than I had. We'd go on overseas trips sometimes, and we'd fly for 13 hours on Air Force One, end up in Southeast Asia. We'd leave Andrews Air Force Base here in D.C. at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'd get there, and it'd be 9 o'clock in the morning again, and we'd have a 14-hour day ahead of us. And we had to get off the plane and work, the Secret Service detail, the medical folks, the military aide, and the president. And we'd do this all day, and it was the most fatiguing thing you can imagine. And at the end of the day, the one person that had the most energy was Donald Trump. And if somebody wanted to talk to him, and there were people in the lobby waiting and wanted to say hi to him, everybody else was thinking about nothing but getting in the bed. He would have the energy to go downstairs and talk to people like he had just woke up. So the man's got incredible energy, incredible endurance, and it's the complete opposite of what we have in the White House right now.
Yeah, it is. It is truly remarkable. Genes matter. We've got a minute left with Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, Congressman Jackson, Texas 13. What is your prediction? What is your expectation? Is it a midterm? Then we have President Trump's made his decision. He's running. What are you saying to the people of Texas? Hang in there. It'll be better. What is Admiral Jackson's message?
My message is the title of my book. I got a new book out called Holding the Line, and that's my message. We're going to hold the line. Right now, we've been doing that. We have a minority in the House and the Senate, and we don't have the White House. We're doing everything we can to stop the insanity that's going on the left right now. But when we get the House back in November, and we will, and we might get the Senate back as well, and we'll get the White House back in 2024, we are going to take this country back, and we are going to get our... We are going to make a difference, and you can count on it.
The book is Holding the Line, A Lifetime of Defending Democracy and American Values. He served this nation in and out of uniform. Sir, when you're back in the swamp, could we get you in studio for a longer discussion about the book itself?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to talk about it. It comes out next week, and there's a lot of great stories in it.
I can't wait. I'm ordering it literally right now. Follow him, Ronnie Jackson TX on Twitter, and you've got to get the book. It is ronniejackson.com, and the book is Holding the Line. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your candor. Thank you for your service. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your call's next here on America First. Coming to you live from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. 500,000 Americans right now, meet in included. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 other Americans. Don't wait any longer. What have you got to lose? Except the pain. Call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
It's an honor to talk to you. I'm also an immigrant since August 9, 1968, and I love this country. This country owes me nothing, and I owe it everything. That's why I serve.
Wow.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Sorry, the best liners are from our callers. You guys make it happen, and that's why we are here for you. If you haven't heard already, this is the new Dr. G. Yes, 34 pounds lighter, and I feel incredible. First diet to ever work for me for 20 years, thanks to Dr. Ashley Lucas and the amazing team at PhD Nutrition and Weight Loss. Find out for yourself. No dumb calorie counting, no starvation diet, just a system that works. My wife is ecstatic. She is 25 pounds lighter. My colleague Mike Gallagher has lost 50 pounds. That's how good it is. Call today for your appointment, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com, or 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. It's a high protein diet, especially meat, as much meat as you want, which is relevant to our next guest, who was supposed to be on the show at the beginning of the week, but Texas's very own Louis Gohmert, Congressman Gohmert, what were you doing on Monday when I wanted you on my show?
Well, we didn't have votes until 6:30 Monday night. And so I had planned for some time to be here and start at 7:30 in the morning and cook ribs all day long and then serve them. The Democrats say it's the only time I ever leave them with a good taste in their mouth. But
hang on, Congressman. Did you actually give some of your ribs to the Democrats?
Yeah, I actually did. Actually, the best compliment I've ever gotten. And I mean, I had people that can't stand me, but they were coming up and just going on about how good they were. But Louise Slaughter has passed on. She used to be Democrat chair of the Rules Committee. And she told me that, you know, Louis, I snuck a few ribs home that evening, and I wasn't worried about my husband eating them because he's a strict vegetarian. And I sat him down in the kitchen cabinet, went back, changed clothes. When I came back to the kitchen, my husband was standing there. My ribs were gone. I said, "Where are my ribs?" He said, "I ate them." She said, "But you're a strict vegetarian." He said, "Oh, I can eat those ribs."
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
Hang on. I need to know, what's the secret? Is it the rub? What's the secret to your ribs?
Yeah. Yeah. I started with LBJ Secret Rib Rub and modified it to where I liked it better. And that's what I used. No marinating, just put on. I mixed up the rub Sunday night and then was putting that on the ribs and putting them on the charcoal grill.
All right. I need to eat. I need to try some of those ribs. I will get dispensation from Dr. All right. I can't wait. All right. Follow this man right now. Rep Louis Gohmert. He's got 500,000 followers. I've retweeted the video that you've posted, sir. It's about the Second Amendment. Really shocking footage coming out of Capitol Hill. Not only do they want to take away our weapons, Congressman, the Democrats have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to guns, do they?
They really don't. In part of the legislation, they mentioned rimfire ammunition, and I ask, do any of you guys even know what rimfire is? And they looked around, and one of the staff handed them a note. Rimfire, yeah, I think I know what it is. Well, anyway, they don't, and they are wrong about so many things. And you would think if you're going to be trying to take away a constitutional right, that you would need to be right about what little you were trying to get right. But it is a dangerous situation. And Sebastian, I know you. I know your knowledge of the world. I know how well-versed you are in other nations' rises and falls. And what we're looking at here, they want to take away guns. They haven't been able to repeal the Second Amendment. So they came up with one way they could do that, and that is to make gun manufacturers liable for any criminal act with a gun. And they know that would put every gun manufacturer out of business. And you know how it goes in these socialist, progressive, communist societies, whichever you want to them, it's the same thing.
Right.
And that is you have a tiny little thin veneer of a ruling class. And in medieval days, those are the people that rode in carriages, some on horseback, but they rode. And all the peasants walked.
Yeah.
They're wanting to get back to that day. All of the ruling class, they're protected by people with guns. All the peasants, not a gun among them. So they're going to have their private jets. They're going to have their big Suburbans and to keep them running on hot days so they're cool when they get in. They're going to have helicopters and yachts. And then there'll be all the rest of us peasants. We won't have guns. We won't be able to have our own cars. They're making them unaffordable as much as they can. They're taking us back just hundreds and hundreds of years. They want to be that ruling class.
Yeah, I just saw a stat on the web. Less than 1% of vehicles in America are electric, and they're already being told, the owners are being told in Texas, in California, and elsewhere, not to charge their vehicles at certain times because they're taxing the grid. Less than 1%, and they think they can make it 100%.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
Well, yeah, but look at what part of that 1% is with the National Defense Authorization we passed. They're wanting to make the Army green and
yes.
have electric vehicles. Can you imagine being in a combat theater and you've got the other side on the run and you call a hey, can you guys hold up? We need to recharge for a few hours, and then we'll be right back.
Yeah, stop the war. Stop the war. We need to recharge. We've got 10 seconds left. I have to ask you. Yesterday, Biden said he had cancer. Today, the White House says he has COVID. Is Kamala Harris warming her place in the Oval Office? What is your take? 10 seconds, sir.
I don't know. She's got an awfully big smile on her face.
Yeah.
That is very concerning.
It is, because it's going to be even worse with her. God bless you, sir. I can't wait to
God bless you, Sebastian.
Taste those ribs. Follow her, gohmert.house.gov. That's G-O-H-M-E-R-T. And Rep. Louie Gohmert of Texas, the number one congressional district. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Do you have daily pain? Have you tried everything else only to fail to find relief? If that's the case, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product that is liberating tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans right now, me included, but also people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That should be you. That could be you, but there's only one way to find out. It's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and 500,000 Americans. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Can't handle the truth? Is reality just too much? There's always NPR. I hear they have tote bags. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Happy Friday. No tote bags here. Just more truth than you can shake a stick at for 3 hours nonstop. Make sure that you are subscribed to the show. We are on all social media platforms except the fascistic YouTubers. We are on Truth Social, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and of course, live streaming on Rumble. Make sure you are subscribed. Very excited about our next guest. It's kind of apposite because Friday is, you know, Second Amendment Fridays here. here on America First. Car Firearms is fighting for America. Car executives stand with America First and are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand for liberty. I carry a 9mm car every single day. Please support our Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Car Firearms. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made weapons at car.com. That's K-A-H-R.com. K-A-H-R.com. If you're into weapons that go bang or have edged elements to them, sharp objects, you are probably enjoying a internet phenomena that is Terminal List with Chris Pratt. I watched all of it last night as my wife fell asleep. I caught the last two episodes as well. I said, I gotta see this before my Friday guests arrive. Why? Because it's the man who wrote it, none other than U.S. Navy SEAL Lieutenant Commander Jack Carr. Welcome to America First.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to talk to you.
All right, we're going to talk about the genesis of the book, the genesis of the TV show, Chris Pratt's involvement. But first things first, I got to get straight to it. As a gun guy, as a guy who, you know, likes edged weapons, talk to me about why hatchets. Talk to me about, I can see it on the wall back there. Is this the rediscovery of a primal weapon? What does it mean to you and to the guys on the teams?
That's exactly it. I happen to have one right here, actually.
Nice.
Winkler Sayoc Tomahawk right here. That's the one from the show and from the books. But when I was creating the character, I wanted something kind of like the 21st century Rambo knife. Those of us who grew up in the 80s, of course, remember that being a very important element of that series. And I thought, what is the weapon that I can associate with this character that also tells a story about him? Tells us that he is a student of warfare, but also that it applies it in a modern context. So I thought that Tomahawk, we go back, of course, well, really to the beginning of time, but in America to Rogers Rangers and those rules. I mentioned hatchets, of course. I've been fascinated with hatchets and edge weapons since I was a little kid. And also, a lot of people carried them downrange in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I thought this was a weapon that I can associate with this character that really tells a story about him. So Tomahawks it is, right? Daniel Winkler out there at Winkler Knives in North Carolina, who also did the Tomahawks and Blades for Last of the Mohicans.
All right, I am going to check out Winkler's Knives right now because I am an owner of one of the original Lyle Rambo knives from the first movie, and I have a Neely version from Rambo 2 as well. So I'm going to have to up my game to hatchets, I think.
Well, that's pretty nice. I'm in the market. I'm looking.
All right, I'll keep my eyes peeled for you if I find an original Lyle from the first movie. Okay, let's talk about the book, Runaway Success. It is the Terminal List. It's the first of many. When was it written, and how did it get made into this new TV show? Tell us the backstory.
Yeah, backstory is that from my very earliest days, I wanted to serve my country in uniform, specifically as a SEAL. Found out about SEALs at the ripe old age of 7. But then by about age 10, I was reading the same things that my parents were. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that in the 80s and into the 90s, a lot of the protagonists and main characters in thrillers, on TV shows, in movies, had a Vietnam background in special operations, either as Army Special Forces guys, maybe they were Marine sniper, CIA paramilitary, or Navy SEALs. So I'm reading books by Tom Clancy and David Morrell and Nelson DeMille and A.J. Quinnell and J.C. Pollock and Mark Olden and all these guys that had these protagonists with that background, a background I wanted in real life one day. And I had such a great experience reading these novels that I knew one day after my time in the military, then I would write these types of thrillers. So as I crept up on that 20-year mark in the SEAL teams, and I started enlisted as an enlisted SEAL sniper and then became an officer about 6.5 years in and finished up as a lieutenant commander. But after my last deployment to Iraq, I realized, hey, if I stay in, I am going to come back as a commanding officer. And that really means I'm back in the tactical operations center and I'm allocating assets and essentially managing. I'm not kicking doors in with the guys. And that's what I came in to do. Also, my family needed me. We have a special needs middle child. So it was very clear it was time to get out. And I was very fortunate that I knew exactly what I wanted to do, which was write thrillers. And having read all these guys growing up, what I was really doing was giving myself an early education in the art of storytelling from the masters. So during my last year and a half, when my mission in the Navy became to get out of this gigantic bureaucracy, I started writing, and I sent it to Simon & Schuster after I got out, a couple months after I got out, and Emily Bessler at Emily Bessler Books, Atria, Simon & Schuster, loved it and wanted to publish it. So published, And before it hit shelves, though, a friend of mine from the SEAL teams called me. And I was actually at Thunder Ranch Shooting School up in Oregon on the range. And I get this call from my friend Jared Shaw, who I had not talked to in 5 years. And first he asked if I remembered him, which I did. And then he asked if I remembered what I did for him and what I did for him in the SEAL teams. And I couldn't remember. And he said, "Hey, you're the only person that sat down in your office. You introduced me to people in the private sector, talked about transitioning out of the military. You checked up on me. You're the only person that did that. And I always wanted to thank you." And I said, "No problem. How's it going?" And he said, "It's going great, but I heard you have a book coming out." And I said, "Yeah, I have this book coming out in a few months. I can send you an early copy if you'd like." And he said, "I'd like that, but I'd like to give it to a friend of mine." And I said, "Who's that?" And he said, "Chris Pratt." So he gave it to Chris. Chris read it at the end of December in 2017 and called the first week in January wanting to option it. So off we went to the races.
All right. Well, guys, you've got to watch it. I'm not going to give away any spoilers right now. It's rather different. In the next segment, we'll discuss what's different about this lead character and you know, the character that is played by Chris Pratt. But first things first, I need you to explain a little bit about the Frogmen, because I've worked a little bit with them. I've briefed the guys at Damneck, but I've spent most of my time with the guys in the Q course at JFK, the Green Berets at Bragg. And these are different cultures, very, very different to me. You know, all warriors, total warriors. But the SEALs are different from the Green Berets, and the Green Berets are different from, you know, the airborne, you know, the Rangers and everything else. Give us a couple of adjectives for what's special about the Frogman community.
Well, we all have, there's some blurred lines there. So we share some mission sets. I would say that we focus on different mission sets, even though we share similar ones. Army Special Forces, of course, is known for language capability, being able to go into a foreign country, build up a military to either overthrow a government or that sort of thing, the unconventional warfare side of the house. But when you're talking about irregular warfare, of course, and you have direct action missions, you have special reconnaissance, you have counter-proliferation of nuclear, biological, chemical weapons, counterterrorism type missions. So there's all these different mission sets. And each group tends to focus a little bit differently because of their history and some of their experiences. But really, the proving ground for a lot of us was Vietnam. And that was really a watershed moment in special operations history. Of course, we trace our lineage back further than that. But Vietnam is really where, as a SEAL community, we came in to our own.
But it's, I wasn't clear. I'm not talking about the different mission sets, IWV, UW, or DA, and everything else. I'm talking about characters. There's a different characteristic. SEALs carry themselves differently from Green Berets. What would you say is the difference in comportment, or because they're different. You can spot one. I'm sorry. I mean, you can spot a SEAL, and I can now spot a Q course graduate, and it's different. It's different. Don't you agree?
I do, and I use this gear, clothing, vehicles to develop my characters in the novels. But just like you, I can see somebody that would walk here onto the property maybe, and I'd say, okay, gator sunglasses, hat turned backwards, flip-flops, shorts, okay, knife clipped in the pocket. You know, I can be, okay, that's a SEAL. Yep. Or I can see somebody else come in and say, okay, a little different type of a hat, different type of
Oakleys.
Oakleys, exactly what I was going for. Oakleys, dead giveaway. So, and I can tell that's a
special. And you got to have the Rolex Submariner. You're right. You got to have the Rolex Submariner. Okay.
Very popular. So you can definitely tell. But it's been so fun for me to get to know both when I was in the service and now after a lot of Special Forces guys. I was just on my podcast, actually, with the guys that started Horse Soldier Bourbon. I just got off with them, the fifth group guys that started that, the Horse Soldiers from back in the day, the first in. So it's really a community that now, especially after the last 20 years, that we don't really have these silos as much anymore as I think we may have before September 11th and maybe shortly thereafter, but it's really a brotherhood that
I love. You can tell I love this stuff, guys. Come on, get into the groove. Read these books. It's Terminal List, The Terminal List, True Believer, Savage Son, The Devil's Hand, In the Blood, and just go to the website, Official Jack Carr. That's C-A-R-R, Official Jack Carr, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jack Carr USA. We're going to dive a little bit in into this internet phenomena that is the Terminalist TV show on Amazon Prime. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First. If you enjoy this show as much as we love providing it to you, make sure you never miss anything. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka. It's free. Write us a 5-star review. Share the links and never miss an episode. We'll be back after these messages.
It's an honor to talk to you. I'm also an immigrant since August 9, 1968, and I love this country. This country owes me nothing, and I owe it everything. That's why I serve.
Wow.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
The best listeners, guys. That line from that listener, an immigrant, a veteran. This country owes me nothing. I owe it everything. God bless every single one of you. Happy Friday. It is Friday. It's Second Amendment Friday. Complacency is a weakness that we patriots cannot afford. For this reason, Carr Firearms is teaming up with us here at America First. Carr believes Americans shouldn't be afraid to publicly stand up and advocate for our liberties. This is about more than being a gun enthusiast. This has become a very personal issue as we struggle for the soul of our republic. Carr wants America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Fridays. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made weapons at KAHR.com. I carry a 9mm car. They also own the iconic line of Desert Eagles, Auto Ordnance, 1911s, Thompsons, you name it. Just go to KAHR.com, KAHR.com. We are back with Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy SEAL Jack Carr, the author of Terminalist and numerous other books you need to read today. We're going to talk about the foundations he supports, but now we have to discuss Chris Pratt as Commander Reese, the hero, or is he a hero? I don't want to give it away, but this is what do you call him? Is he a hero? Because he gets up to some pretty dark stuff, Commander.
He does. And to me, he always is. He's the protagonist. He's the main character. He's the hero. It was interesting when the show came out to hear people label him an anti-hero or ask the question about, is he an anti-hero, which is a more popular term from kind of the late 90s in popular culture onward. But to me, yeah, he's a hero. He's the little guy. He's the person the establishment wants to crush and in this case, actually kill and remove from the battlefield. And but of course, they mess with the wrong person, and he has this skill set that also. But he also thinks he's dying, and that was important to me because growing up in the '80s, that voiceover that they would have in the movie theaters before trailers, it would always say something like, "He has nothing left to lose." And I always thought, well, he could die or he could go to prison or there's all sorts of things to lose. And I really needed to put a modern day warrior in essentially what this ancient samurai would do. And that in that sort of a mindset. And they would go into battle thinking they were already dead because they thought that made them more effective and efficient warriors. So I thought, how do you do that in today's day and age? And I went back to the church hearings of the '70s and some of the some overreach by certain agencies in the federal government, testing of drugs on prisoners, on mental institution patients, college students and members of the military. And so I put that in modern day and put him in a situation, James Reese, where he thinks he is dying. And so he has to complete this list and use all the skills, but also essentially become the insurgent that he had been fighting for at that time, the last 16 years, now it would be 20 years at war. So he becomes this insurgent using the tactics and techniques that the enemy used against us, against people in this country who gave his troop tumors and took out his family. So it was very therapeutic to write on many levels, actually.
I'm sure. Well, it is absolutely binge-worthy, guys. You need to watch it. Watch it tonight. I think I watched the last 4 or 5 episodes last night preparing for this interview. My wife has to catch up on the last two. She kind of, she lost steam going there, but she is going to watch it tonight. I have to ask you how... So it's optioned by Chris Pratt even before the book comes out. He wants to make it. And I don't want to get you in trouble. I think it's going to be optioned for the second season. How hard was it to get to the screen? How hard was the political correctness to fight? Or were they saying, hey, we're just going to make this and Chris Pratt wants to pay for it?
Well, you bring other production companies on that invest in it, and then Amazon, of course, is the big dog in the room there. But I got to tell you, people like to dog Amazon quite a bit, but they came down on our side as far as all this stuff goes on every single issue. And I didn't know what to expect walking into it because you hear all these things about Hollywood. But we were so lucky that we had Chris Pratt and Antoine Fuqua, the director, the two people that I wanted involved before they even knew that I existed. Those are the two people I wanted to lead this effort. And then we have a showrunner, David DiGilio, and all of us together, what we wanted to do was really make a show that would speak to those who have been downrange to Iraq and Afghanistan. They could sit there on the couch and they could say, this show is special. This one was made with me in mind because of this warrior mindset. And you know, some of the critics do not like it, but it does have a 95% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
The viewers absolutely love it, and that's all that matters. This is a fictional character. You're a real SEAL. Let's talk about fellow real warriors. What is the Rescue 22 Foundation, Commander?
Yeah, so Rescue 22 Foundation was founded by a friend of mine, and what they do is they fully train service dogs for veterans of our armed forces dealing with the physical and emotional trauma of the battlefield. So amazing organization, rescue22.org, and they just do incredible work and change lives, obviously through training up these companion dogs for people who sacrificed, put it all on the line for us. So
I think I actually met those trainers at SHOT Show last year. We still need to get them on the show, but please support this organization, rescue22foundation.org. And one more we wish to discuss, which has an amazing mission. What does the Best Defense Foundation do?
Right. So they're taking veterans right now, World War II veterans, back to the battlefields on which they fought to make peace with what there, say goodbye to those who didn't make it home. My daughter and I just got back from Normandy this past June, where we took 23 World War II veterans, walked the beaches with those who stormed those beaches. We walked through towns with guys who jumped out over Normandy with 101st Airborne back then, others who crashed their gliders in with the 82nd Airborne, and then fought all the way to Berlin through the Battle of the Bulge, through these incredible experiences so that we could have the freedoms, the options, and the opportunities that we have here in this country today. Stand next to them and hear their stories. Just incredible.
Well, I need to go on one of those trips. Please also consider supporting that organization, bestdefensefoundation.org. You've already committed to come back on the show for a longer discussion. We have our one-on-one interviews. We've got 30 seconds left. Commander, what is your message to those warriors, frogmen, members of the SOF or SF community who are still in and are now being assaulted by the wokeness inside our military?
That is a tough one, but all you really can do is do what you came in to do, which is prepare for war. And that's our mission, is to be prepared for war when that call comes. And all those other things are just static. And it's tough to put that aside and focus on the mission, but really that's your only option. So focus on that mission, be the best warriors you can possibly be. So when that call comes in, then you're there for your brothers to your right and your left, your teammates, your best friends as you go downrange. That's what you owe them, their families, and the country as a whole. So keep at it, head down, keep crushing.
The terminal list was the first. How many more have you written, and what else can we expect in the future?
5 books total right now. The 5th one just came out, In the Blood, this last May. We'll see if we get a second season on Amazon. I know everybody wants to do it, but you never know with schedules and budgets and all the rest of it. So we shall see about a second season, which would be True Believer. But I have a podcast, Danger Close Podcast, 2 a week. Those drop. But for me right now, it's about making the 6th book the best that it can possibly be, because that's my goal each and every time, is to get better at my craft.
Quick question. Favorite AR platform?
Ooh, guys, the Bravo Company stuff's pretty good, but you know, there's so many great AR platforms and companies out there.
I saw that Bravo Company charging handle in one of the close-ups on the TV show, so I thought I could guess what it was. Okay, it is The Terminal List, True Believer, Savage Son, The Devil's Hand, and In the Blood is the latest. God bless you. Thank you for your service. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your call's next here on America First.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.